I want to look in Luke chapter number 15 this morning for just a few moments, and I want to tell you, my burden starting this year off has not changed from last Sunday and for several Sundays. I know we had Christmas time and a lot of things were going on during that time, but I really didn't preach on Christmas during the Christmas season because my burden has just been about the lost. And I preached last Sunday morning here out of Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and verse number 2, about what sinners say about the Savior in this text and the context dealing with the lost. And when we come to Luke chapter 15, if the Lord doesn't change my mind, and I don't believe He's going to, the next few weeks, I'm just going to stay here in Luke chapter 15 on Sunday morning and preach to the lost. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if people got saved? I'm telling you, these next few weeks, and they get saved Sunday night, Wednesday night, or they can get saved in the house. It doesn't matter, but I'm just going to preach to the lost these next Sunday mornings and may do it throughout the whole year. You can never tell, whatever God wants. But Luke chapter 15, if you'll stand with us in reverence reading the Word of God, we'll read just four verses of Scripture and have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Luke chapter number 15, we'll pick up verse number 3. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance." Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you for this day. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your presence in the service. I know, Lord, a lot of things have been taking place this morning out of the norm, but I pray that you would settle our thoughts and our minds for a few moments on the Word of God. I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray you'd save the lost this morning, that somebody that is here this morning that's never been born again, I pray they'd walk the aisle and get saved by the grace of God. Lord, we do want to pray for the Lyons family. We want to pray that for the Dye family this morning. We pray for Sister Holly, for Sister Emily. God, we do pray for them that you'd give them grace to help them in this time of need. And Lord, we want to thank you for Sister Thelma. We know that she is with you, that she is in a better place. And I pray now this morning, God, that you would speak to us and speak through us and get the glory and the honor that's due to your name. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I do not have a fancy title this morning. I just simply want to preach on the lost sheep. The lost sheep this morning. If you think about chapter or verse number 1 and verse number 2, there is publicans and sinners in verse number 1, and there is Pharisees and scribes in verse number 2. Now, what these two categories of people, as we mentioned last week, have what they have in common is the fact that they're all lost. It doesn't matter if you're a publican and called a sinner, or if you're a Pharisee and a scribe. Every one of them needed Jesus, and the message was that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And so Jesus begins in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them." Now, I would not debate the issue this morning. Some would say that there are three parables in this story, but the Bible does say that he spake this parable in verse number 3. Doesn't really matter how you want to dissect it this morning, whether you want to say the parable of the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son, or whether or not you want to classify it all as one parable. The truth of the text is that Jesus is giving this parable because he is preaching to lost people. Amen? And he is driving home the message in every single one of these stories here, how that they were lost. The silver was lost. The sheep was lost. The son was lost. I'm talking about it doesn't matter what it is. The message here is that it was lost. But I want to say, thank God, that's not the end of the message. Amen. Because in all three stories, everything that was lost was found. Amen. I'm glad the sheep was found. I'm glad the silver was found. And thank God the son was found. Amen. I want to say this morning, sinner, you may be lost, but you don't have to stay lost this morning. You can be found. And when we come to this text concerning the lost sheep, I notice in verse number 4, the shepherd and his journey.
journey. The Bible says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Think about the shepherd and his journey this morning. Consider the shepherd and his labor. The Bible talks about what man of you having 100 sheep. Now, I want to say to take care of 100 sheep, it involves some labor, doesn't it? Amen? This man is not a lazy man. This is a working man. And this text here, for he has 100 sheep. And every one of those sheep means something to the shepherd. You say, how do you know that? Because look at the next phrase. The Bible said, if he lose one of them, not only the shepherd and his labor, but the shepherd and his loss. He loses one of those sheep. Now, when you think about this sheep that is lost, it would have been easy for the shepherd to say, well, I'm just going to cut my losses and go on. But that's not what the shepherd is going to do. He is going to go after this lost sheep. I want to say this morning, Christ is preaching to these Jews, trying to drive home the point of the lost house of Israel, the sheep, those that need to be saved, the nation of Israel. Amen. And so there is a national message here. Israel needs to be saved. They are lost. They are a nation that is lost. And Jesus is driving that home. But let's bring it down to the individual. Amen. There is one sheep that is lost this morning. And we think about this sheep in this verse here. He is lost. I don't know if he knows if he's lost. Maybe he's out there and he's lost and he knows it. You know, some sinners don't even know they're lost this morning. And then there are sinners that they know they're lost, and they're searching and they're trying to find something that will satisfy them. Well, there is the shepherd in his labor. There's the shepherd in his loss. But then there's the shepherd in his leaving. Notice the Bible said, doth not he leave the 99 in the wilderness. Now, this shepherd loves this sheep so much that he's willing to leave and to go find that sheep. I want to say, sinner, God loves you enough, and he loved you enough that he gave his son Jesus, and Jesus left the portals of glory, and he came down here and he lived 33 and a half years in this old sin cursed earth, and he walked among men. Why? Because he wanted to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10 said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You say, well, I want to be saved. Well, if you can get lost, thank God you can be found. Amen. If you'll ever come to the realization and just admit to God and admit to yourself, I'm lost and I need to be saved, then God will save you this morning. I want to say the shepherd and his leaving. And then there's the shepherd and his looking. The Bible said in verse number 4 here that he goes after that which is lost. Amen. I'm talking about the shepherd is walking around and he's looking. Amen. Now this shepherd may not know exactly where this sheep is, but I promise you our shepherd knows where every lost sheep is. Amen. The day I went to church, I didn't know I was lost, but God knew I was lost. The day I went to church, I didn't know I needed to be saved, but I'm glad he knew I needed to be saved. I didn't know who God was, but he knew exactly who I was. I didn't know where he was at, but thank God he knew exactly where I was at. He knows exactly where you're at. And before you ever went looking for God, I promise you, he went looking for you. Hallelujah. You believe that? Well, it happened with Zacchaeus. Amen. Zacchaeus went up that tree to see who Jesus was, but the Bible says, for he was to pass that way. I promise you, listen, Jesus passed by Zacchaeus' way on purpose. You say, how do you know that? Because when he got to the tree, he didn't have to ask somebody, who's that up in that tree? Who's that man up there and what's he doing? Oh no, when he got to the place, the Bible said he stopped and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, he called him by name. He said, come down, for I must abide at thy house today. What I'm telling you is that Zacchaeus went up that tree looking for God, but God came by that tree looking for Zacchaeus. Amen. Zacchaeus had to make a choice. Zacchaeus had a will, but the plan and will of God was to pass by his way. I'm saying this morning, a sinner, hear me well. God is looking for you, and he wants to save you. And you know, if he'll look for you, then thank God he'll find you, and he'll save you. Amen. I want to say, not only the shepherd and his looking, but notice the shepherd and his limit. How far will the shepherd go to find one lost sheep? Well, the Bible says here in verse number 4 that he go after that which is lost. Notice this, until he finds it. You say, how far would God go to save a sinner? Till he finds them. How far would God go to save you this morning? Till he finds you. Till he comes to where you are. I'm telling you, to give his only son, I mean, to leave glory and to come here to be nailed on an old rugged cross and to die for our sins, that's how far Jesus would go to save every sinner. He'd go to Calvary. He went all the way, amen? He didn't go part of the way. He didn't go half of the way. He didn't go most of the way. I'm telling you this morning, Christ made the journey just like this shepherd made the journey. He made the journey through the wilderness of this old wicked world. And he went all the way until he found that which was lost. Amen. It's not a coincidence that the last thing that Jesus did before he died on the cross was he saved a lost thief. He saved a sinner before he died. If it had come down from the cross, they said he saved others, but he cannot save himself. How true of a statement that was that the world made that day. For Jesus could have come off the cross and could have saved himself. But had he saved himself, he would not have saved others. But he hung on the cross and he died at Calvary. He finished the will, the plan of God. He made the end of that journey. Why? He did not save himself. Why? So he could save me and he could save you. So that he could save all of lost humanity. There's the shepherd and his journey. Then there's the shepherd and his joy. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, and when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Amen. Notice in this verse here that the shepherd, he saves the sheep. Amen. The Bible says, and when he found it. Now that sheep couldn't have found his way back to the fold. That sheep could have never found the shepherd on his own. You see, Adam, my friend, was put in the fold. Eve was put in the fold. Thank God, God put them in the Garden of Eden in paradise, in a perfect environment, in a perfect world. And he walked with them in the cool of the day. But you know what Adam and Eve did? They did just what this sheep did. They wandered away. A sin came in the garden. Adam and Eve sinned, and what happened? They were driven out. They were driven out into the wilderness of this world with the curse upon it. But God did not leave them to themselves. I'm telling you, Adam didn't have a plan. Eve didn't have a plan, but God had a plan. Amen. He knew that when they went out, thank God, his son would come down so that man could go back in, and God would bring them to a better world. He'd bring them into a better fold. I'm telling you, from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to Revelation chapter 22. You know what the shepherd is doing? He is looking, he is searching, he is seeking out the sheep. I'm telling you, just like God found Adam in the garden, thank God one day he found me and one day he found you if you've been saved. I'm telling you, it's one thing to be lost, but it's another thing to raise your hand and say, thank God I've been found. Amen. I once was lost, but hallelujah, now I've been found. The shepherd saves the sheep. I'm asking you this morning, are you lost? Then why live lost another day? If you say, oh, preacher, I'm lost. If I died right now, I'd go to hell. Well, you don't have to go to hell. All you got to do is come this morning. The shepherd knows where you're at, and he'll save your soul. Hallelujah. Now, why would anybody in this building this morning want to walk out these doors knowing you're lost and go home in that condition? Are you sick and tired of worrying about eternity? Are you tired of worrying about where you're going to go when you die? Because you're going to die. Are you worried about it? So, preacher, I'm tired of worrying about it. Well, you need to be saved. And if you want to be saved, you can be saved. You say, well, I'm just miserable. Don't be miserable another day. Jesus don't want you to be miserable. God don't want you to be miserable. This church doesn't want you to be miserable. You need to be saved this morning. The shepherd's going to have joy because the shepherd saves the sheep. And when he had found it, and then the shepherd shoulders the sheep. Look what the Bible says. He layeth it on his shoulders. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, when God saves you, he don't leave you where he found you. Amen. You notice in this verse, when that shepherd found the sheep, Brother Brian, he didn't leave that sheep out in the wilderness. He didn't say, well, I found you, and just left you there. Oh, no. He picked him up where he was at, and he put him on his shoulder. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, he is the great burden bearer. He doesn't leave us where he found us. David said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. Thank God for the day he brought me out. Hallelujah. And he set my feet on a rock, and he established my goal. And he put a new song in my mouth that'll sing praise even unto our God. I'm glad this morning he'll pick you up. He'll put you on his shoulder. He'll carry you back to the fold. Hallelujah. You know where Sister Thelma is this morning? She got carried in. She didn't make the crossing by herself. Oh no, the Bible said the Lord will give grace and glory. Amen. There's grace for the race, but there's glory on the other side. I'm telling you, when it comes to the end of the way, I want to say this morning, according to Acts chapter 7, the first person that Stephen saw when he got ready to leave this world was not Abraham. It was not Isaac, and it was not Jacob. He didn't see the angels of glory, but he declared that day, he said, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I want to say, thank God he'll hold my hand when it comes time to make the crossing. There will be grace, but there'll also be glory when the veil is lifted from this world to the next. Thank God there'll be the shepherd that'll put us around his shoulder, and he'll help us make the crossing from this side to the other side. Hallelujah. Whoa, praise God. I'm telling you this morning, there may be sadness on this side, but there's singing on the other side. There may be burdens on this side, but it's a land of blessing on the other side. There may be heartache down here, but there's happiness and holiness on the other side. I'm talking about the shepherd. He shoulders the sheep. Hallelujah. And then I like this in verse 5. The shepherd shouts over the sheep. The Bible said in verse 5, the shepherd is rejoicing. I think about Sister Thelma. She'd shout up and down these aisles rejoicing, wouldn't she? And there's no doubt, Brother Daddy, when she made the crossing, when she stepped into that next world, she went to shouting in a glorified body. But I tell you, somebody beat her to it. It's the shepherd. Amen. I'm telling you, when his children come home, he don't just take it lightly. Amen. The angels might be singing when we come home. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. The Old Testament patriarchs may be standing at attention when we come home. I don't know that, because the Bible doesn't say. But one thing I do know is that they's rejoicing around the throne when a child of God comes in. I'm telling you, the day you got born in the family, the father rejoiced. And the day we go home, the father's going to rejoice. Sinner, I want to tell you why you need to get saved. It thrilled the heart of God for you to get born again. And the shepherd, his joy is that he found the sheep. Hallelujah. It's a good day when you get saved. It's a good day down here, but it's a good day up there when your name gets recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I'm telling you, I feel so good in my soul this morning. I didn't start out this way, but I sure am feeling better the further I go. Amen. I'm talking about joy unspeakable, full of glory. Hey, I just want to say I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I want to say I'm glad I'm saved. Don't you thank God you've been born again? Don't you thank God when this life is over with, there's a better day coming. Hallelujah. There's a land that is better than this old world. Hallelujah. Faith will end in sight. The shepherd and his journey. The shepherd and his joy. But it gets better. Look at the shepherd and his jubilee. The Bible said in verse number 6. Notice the shepherd's coming. And when he cometh home. The shepherd's headed to the house. You know who else is headed to the house with that shepherd? The lamb that was lost. I want to say when Adam sinned, he put us all on the outside, didn't he? He put us all in the wilderness. But the shepherd came looking for us. And when he found us, he put us on his shoulder, the Holy Ghost, the Paracletus, the one that's called along the side to help us. He gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to guide us through this walk of life. And you know where he's going to take. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. The Comforter, that's the same as. Amen. I'm telling you, it's like having Jesus down in your heart. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside. Amen. You know where the shepherd's going after he finds the sheep? He's going to the house. Amen. He's not just going to the house, but the sheep is going to the house. Thank God when you and I get born again, you know where we're headed? We're headed to the house. Amen. The Bible says, when he cometh home. You notice the jubilee in verse number 6. It don't get started till the shepherd gets home with the sheep. Amen. I like that old song they sung years ago. It said they can't start that celebration until I get home. Amen. I'm telling you, they can get the banquet table ready. They can spread everything out. They can strike up and get the choir ready. But until the last one of us gets in, the celebration will not be started. But can you imagine what it's going to be like when the last one gets in the family of God and Jesus comes back and he takes the bride away, and thank God we go home to be with him. I'm talking about the shepherd and his coming. Amen. And then there's the shepherd and his calling in this jubilee. The Bible said he called together his friends and his neighbors. He calls everybody together because he's excited about the sheep. Sinner, you need to be saved. And you need to quit looking at God as an enemy, because God is not your enemy. God's your friend. God gave you the life that you have. He gave you the breath that's in your body. God gave you the family that you've got. And God gave you Jesus, his son, to die on the cross. That's how much he loves you this morning. God is not against you. He is for you. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to bring you into the fold. And the shepherd, he calleth his friends and his neighbors together. I'm telling you, there's going to be a great jubilee one of these days. About this time of the year, my wife actually, about around Thanksgiving, started working on a jubilee. And I thought, man, it's hard to believe. It's just a little while and it's going to be here again. Seems like it was just a few months ago, and now it's even closer. It's just a matter of weeks, and we'll be in the spring, and we'll have 4 days of jubilee. And we look forward to that, and then it's here and it's gone. And it just comes so quickly. But I want to tell you, there's coming a great jubilee in the sky one of these days when we're going to worship and we're going to sing and we're going to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the family is going to be brought together. What a day that's going to be. Hallelujah. There's the shepherd's celebration. Notice verse number 6 again. He calls his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. The Lord rejoiced over this lost sheep. What is Jesus saying to these sinners? He's simply saying to them, come and be saved, because heaven will rejoice. The Father will rejoice. The Savior would rejoice if you'll come. You know, it is so easy to be saved if people will just come and accept Christ. Admit that you're lost, come to Jesus Christ, and accept him as your Savior. You say, would he receive me? Well,
The Bible says that he receiveth sinners. And if you know you're a sinner, you know he'll receive you. It's just that simple this morning. And I see the shepherd in his jubilee, and finally I notice the shepherd in Jesus in verse number 7. Jesus brings this down to himself. He said, I say unto you, this story is personal to Jesus. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is this story personal to you today? Because it was personal to our Savior. This story is paralleled by Jesus, that likewise, Jesus said, I'm about to draw a parallel. I'm about to draw something here that I want you to see. There's more about this story than just a man losing a sheep. The story is pictured by Jesus. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. More than 90, over 99 just persons. Jesus has said, if I just get one to walk the aisle and get saved, there'll be joy in heaven. Amen. They may not all come, but they could. But if they don't, if that one that knows he's lost will come, over one sinner. You say, preacher, I'm a sinner, and I'm lost, and I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. What I need to do? You need to come. And then you need to do what Jesus said. You need to repent. You say, what is repentance? It's confessing. It's turning to God, confessing. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And I want to be saved. Brother Gravely, would he save me? He receiveth sinners. See, that's the number one problem in verse number 2. That crowd never could see themselves lost. So they never could get saved. The old preachers used to say it like this, and if I had a white hanky, I'd do it. They said, you just need to wave the old white flag of surrender. Yeah. You know, that's what that white flag meant, didn't it? When they raised that white flag during battle, it meant we surrender. Yeah. You want to be saved? Surrender to God. Amen. You want to be born again? You know you're lost. You know you're a sinner. You know you can't save yourself. Surrender. When you step out of that seat, that's what that is, that, and you come to this aisle, that's surrender. Surrender to God. Why do I got to go down there? It's just surrender. Surrender to Jesus. And then this story is prophetic of Jesus. Because Christ is coming again, friend. It's prophetic in the text because Jesus is going to Calvary. Why is he going to Calvary? To save that which was lost. Why did he go? The songwriter said. Why did he suffer? There's just one reason, the songwriter said. I am the one. You know, if you'd have been the only sinner on planet Earth, just how much God loves you. If you'd have been the only sinner on planet Earth, you say, well, I'm just a little boy. I'm just a little girl. It doesn't matter. If you'd have been the only sinner on planet Earth, God loves you that much. That he would have gave the only son he had, he still would have gave him. And Jesus loves you that much that he would have still came. And he'd have died on the cross. And if you could have stopped our Lord on the way to Calvary and said, why are you doing this? If you'd have been the only sinner, why are you going to Calvary? Why are you going through all of this? You could call 10,000 angels. Why are you carrying this cross? Why are you shedding your blood? Why are you dying? Here's what Jesus would have said. He would have said, because I love, and he'd have called your name enough to die for their sins. Amen. That's how personal Calvary is to Jesus. How personal is it to you today? As we stand together.